This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. We begin by praising Allah. Nashhadu an la ilaha illallah. We testify. Ya Allah, there's none worthy of worship besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our creator, our sustainer. And we send our greetings and our salutations and our love to our beloved Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to the Anbiya, to his pious and his pure family, to his companions and all those who follow his sunnah until the end of time. May Allah bless us to be in the companionship of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Jannat al-Firdaus. Ameen. Walhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Last night was the 15th, today is the 15th of Sha'ban. And perhaps one of the most significant things about the 15th of Sha'ban is that we are 2 weeks away from Ramadan. And it's important now that we get sort of into that mode. This is a big event on the calendar for us. Like any big events, if you're getting married, you know, when the baby is due, you prepare to get the most out of this big event. And just in the context of, I want to start off by mentioning in the context of your life and my life how important Ramadan is. How important is Ramadan? Our objective is to get to Jannah. Ultimately, that's what we want to do. We want to get through this dunya as quickly and as painlessly as possible and get to Jannah. And to get to Jannah requires good deeds. It requires a life where you have to be good. Your money has to be halal. Your actions have to be good. If we commit sin, and we will commit sin, we have to ask for forgiveness or depend on Allah's mercy. It's a lifelong struggle to get to Jannah. It's not difficult, but it's a lifelong struggle. Every day, 5 daily salahs, X, Y, Z. Then Allah throws at us a bonus. Allah gives us an opportunity. In one shot, you can knock the opponent out. One shot, you can attain your Jannah. So, in the form of Hajj, for example. In the form of certain deeds, you just do it once, the shaheed. No matter how he lived, if he dies in the battle, fi sabil, khalas, he gets Jannah. He ended on shahada. Ramadan is one of those knockout blows. One of those, you just need to get one Ramadan. Just one Ramadan accepted, and khalas, you're in Jannah. How do we know that? We know, and you all know the hadith, you've memorized this now so many times. Man qama Ramadan iman wahtisaban, man saama Ramadan iman wahtisaban, man qama laylatul qadr. The Prophet says that whoever stands in salah the month of Ramadan, whoever fasts the month of Ramadan, whoever just stands the night of laylatul qadr, all your sins are forgiven. Your whole life is fixed. And sometimes the only way to make these analogies, we need to make analogies to make this make sense. Imagine, FNB put out a statement and they said, calculate all the debts that you'll ever pay in your life. The current debts, your bond, your car, all the money you have to pay, the school fees, not just now, for the future. You do a calculation, you go and sit down and say, well, you know, maybe that's going to come to 10 million, 20 million, 30 million. FNB says, in this month, every day if you make an application or you do some kind of online thing, won't take you more than a few hours and it's accepted, your current debts and your future debts are written off. That is dunya stuff. What would we do, subhanAllah? How would we? We would make sure we're on that website 24/7. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, your lifetime of sin is forgiven in this month. Then, that's on the sin side. On the reward side, to get to Jannah, it's not just about not doing sin or getting sin forgiven. It's about accumulating good deeds. You need to get X amount of good deeds, inshallah, to get to Jannah. Allah's maghfirah is most important, but we need to do good deeds. We need to make salah and all these things. Allah says there's one night in this year, Laylatul Qadr. It is better than 1,000 months. And again, I make that analogy. Who's going to be brave enough and tell me your salary? Who wants to give the salary? Okay, arrange. Raise your hands. Okay, don't raise your hands. But is it fair to say between, say, 20? Is that sort of an average salary? Is that reasonable? 20,000 rand a month? Some more, some less. But let's say you earn 20. Some of you, mashallah, more than that. If you earn 20,000 rand a month, and your boss tells you, just come to work this one night, and I'll give you a 1,000 month salary. What do you do? Take your paycheck. Take what you're going to get paid now, the 25th of Feb. Multiply it, add 3 zeros. So if it's 20,000, that's 20 million. If you earn 10,000, that's 10 million. If you earn, mashallah, you're coming home with 50K, that's 50 million. Your boss says, one night, in these last 10 days, if you work and I like the work you did, I will give you that salary. How would we work? Really, you would say, after that night, I don't have to work again. Yes? Right? Someone is nodding their head saying, I'm putting it. If you got that salary, would you retire the next day? If your boss gave you that, would you retire? You'd quit. That's enough. I don't have to work again. And that's exactly what Allah is saying. If you get Laylatul Qadr, you don't have to make ibadah again, but a whole lifetime of ibadah is for you. Khalas. You don't have to strive and struggle. Allah has already given it to you. One thing even above that, subhanAllah. If I told you and I brought you a person who died in Gaza fighting the Zionists, we will say, mashaAllah, this is a wali of Allah, is going to Jannah, mashaAllah. We know of a hadith, a long hadith, where the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam compared two brothers. One died a shaheed, and another one died a basic normal death. He died in his sleep. The one who died as a shaheed died first, and the other one died a year later. And the Prophet said, the one who died a year later, the difference between the two is like the heavens and the earth. The one who died, not the shaheed, he is much higher and superior in rewards than the shaheed. So how, Ya Rasulullah? Sahabas couldn't understand. And the Prophet responded, he had one extra year, one extra Ramadan. Now the Haji understands this when he performs Hajj. He knows that this is my ticket. I messed up my whole life, but if I just get Hajj right, it's 1 week, halas, I'm safe. But they're also very serious because they know I only get the shot once. Whereas we've taken Ramadan for granted. I've had many Ramadans, 30, 40 Ramadans, inshallah, this is another one. No, you must approach this now, and that's the khutbah, if this is my final Ramadan, if this is my last Ramadan, I don't know if the previous ones are accepted. If I get this right, my life is right. If I get this right, my Jannah is secured. So how do we prepare for Ramadan? How do we prepare? Oh, this and this mindset of will my Ramadan be accepted is something which is mentioned in the Quran. Allah says, وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْتُونَ مَا أَتَوَ وَقُلُوبُهُمْ وَجِلَتْ أَنَّهُمْ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ رَاجِعُونَ. Allah says, there are those who give, meaning they do good deeds. They give sadaqah, but they do good deeds. Yet their heart is still full of fear, because they know they'll go back to Allah. They do good deeds, but they're still conscious of Allah. They're still a bit anxious. And their heart is full of fear because they're going back to Allah. أُولَٰئِكَ يُسَارِعُونَ فِي الْخَيْرَاتِ وَهُمْ لَهَا سَابِقُونَ. Allah says, these people who do good and are consciously looking to improve and do more, Allah said, they are the ones who are racing ahead of the pack. يُسَارِعُونَ فِي الْخَيْرَاتِ. And they outstrip others, this mindset. And so Aisha asked, Ya Rasulullah, these people who do good deeds but are fearful, are these people who do good deed and commit sin? And we do good deeds, but then we drink khamar on the side. We come to the masjid and then we do, and those who do good deeds, and they, Aisha asks, Ya Rasulullah, are these people, those who do good deeds, but they drink alcohol and they steal, and that's why they're scared? Nabi says, no. Rather, it is the one who fasts and prays and gives charity, and he fears that, oh, my deeds accepted. I've done my part, but it's not a done deal until Allah accepts it. And this is why it pushes them to do the most they can, because they fear, will I get another chance? Very famous statement, Sayyidina Uthman, he said, if I know Allah just accepted one of my deeds, then I feel good, because then I get Jannah. And so this is the opportunity now. And the mindset is, if this is my last chance, Ya Allah, it's enough for me to get to Jannah. Whatever I've done up until this point, if I, Ya Allah, get me to Ramadan, and once I get there, it's an easy, it's an open goal. It's like just push the ball in and you get it. That's what Ramadan is. And so, well, that mindset of, Ya Allah, I want this to be my best Ramadan, and may Allah make it our best Ramadan. We make dua for it, that's the first step. And we start off the niyyah. If the niyyah wasn't there yet, Ya Allah, everyone now, make the niyyah. Ya Allah, this will be my best Ramadan, bi-idhnillah. This will be the deepest and closest I'll connect to you in my whole life. It's going to be this Ramadan. Before we get to Ramadan, before we get there are certain things we need to iron out. And as I mentioned, the Hajis understand this, mashallah. The Hajis, they get accredited. Now they're in the... A few months before Hajj, they plan, they go for classes, they get all that technical stuff. Then they start fixing their life, because they know, I can't go on Arafah, very sincere, but I'm still doing some major sins. If I'm, Allah protect, I'm drinking alcohol, I can't take my alcohol with me on Hajj and say, Allah's forgiving me, but I'm still going to drink. No, I must stop the habit now. And there are certain things which unfortunately blocks deeds from getting accepted. And so if the question is, Ya Allah, how do I get my deeds accepted? It's not about doing more. And I think this is one of the problems when it comes to Ramadan. Last year I did one hatam, now I do two, three, I must do another 5, 10. But it doesn't seem to make the effect that we have. It doesn't matter how much we do, if there are certain things that block our ibadah from going through. So what things block your ibadah? And that's what we want to focus on, and that's what you can fix now in these 2 weeks. The job for these 2 weeks, get rid of the things that block my ibadah, that is going to be an obstacle to my Ramadan being accepted. So, number one, things that hold back our ibadah. The Prophet says, O people, Allah is pure, and He only accepts that which is pure. Allah commanded the pious to follow the same commandments He gave the Anbiya. The same rules for the Anbiya applies to the normal believers. And then the Prophet ﷺ mentioned, imagine a man, he has come all the way, imagine he comes for Hajj. He's traveled all the way from South Africa, journey on foot, plane broke down, everything. He's carrying his luggage on his back. He came, and he finally gets to Arafah. MashaAllah, he got there, covered in dust, exhausted. And he stretches out his hands and he's crying, Oh Allah, Oh Allah, Oh Allah. Sincerely, man, he's crying. He's so sincere. But then Allah says, this man's food is haram. His whole business is haram. His pension is haram. His bond is haram. The food he gives his children is haram. Everything is haram. His body has been nourished with haram. He worked 8 hours a day. He's still in the job. That job is not a permissible job. How can I accept such a man's dua? And so, when we talk this about this, and the Hajjis become very, very, you know, nervous. And wallahi, we have to be nervous. Because while we are in tahajjud, while we are in the mosque fasting, our money that is haram in the bank or in the pension or in the bond is accruing interest. It is a major sin. Even the person who is committing zina, may Allah protect us, he phones and he says, we must get everything out of our system because for the next Ramadan, we're not going to do naughty stuff. He knows I must stop my zina. But the person whose money is in the bank or in the pension that's haram, it doesn't stop. It continues during Ramadan. And so this is the one thing that blocks our ibadah, haram money. Whether it is we are paying a bond that is haram, or we are earning haram interest through our pensions, or our job is haram, and we all need to look at that. It's a bit difficult, but it's something to think about. Alhamdulillah, there's a lot of products that's available to us. So that's up to you to discuss. And this is not an easy thing. These are difficult things. Oh, I must change, but that's the hard part. Number two, what else holds my ibadah back? The Prophet says, there are three people whose salah will not be accepted, not be risen up, even by a handspan, not even a little bit. Allah's not going to even take any of his ibadah. No matter how beautiful the salah is, Allah's not going to accept it. Who? The imam who leads his people in prayer and they hate him. So I must ask, please, is anybody, I must probably do a poll here. If you hate the imam or hate the person leading salah, tell us or go to another masjid. We don't know, but the sunnah is you should not lead a people who are not comfortable with you leading. Or something we should look at and think our leaders should ask this thing. The people stand behind you and they're cursing you. How long you recite, or how bad you, whatever it is. And that's why the imam should never recite too long or speak too long. So that's one. I need to look at that. An imam whose people hate him. A wife who spends the night while her husband is displeased. This is for our sisters, subhanAllah. The husband, now all the husbands take out the phone, they take the pictures. You see, your Ramadan will not be, your ibadah, your, Allah says your salah is not accepted. When your husband asked you a legitimate something, not unreasonable, and usually it's in the context of intercourse, whatever, and for no reason she said no. And now the husband is frustrated and is grumpy, is upset. That lady, the hadith says, I didn't say, the Prophet says, this is Ibn Majah, it's narrated as correct by Imam Nawawi, that her salah is not raised up while her husband continues to be upset with her. And number three, two people, brothers, family members, cousins, uncles, parents, children, Allah forgive us, where there is unhappiness, we don't talk to each other. Who have severed relationships. Yeah, we don't talk, we block each other, we don't talk to each other. Now all of us must introspect. Do we have close family members like that? That I will not pick up the phone and say, Salaamu Alaikum, have a good Ramadan or Eid Mubarak. If they phone me, I put it down. If I see them in the road, I just ignore them. Do we have any family members like that? Now all these things are difficult to give in. But think of your Ramadan. Don't think of it for that person. Or your pension. Think of your Ramadan and your Jannah in that place. The Prophet says, a person's dua will continue to be answered so long as he is not asking for something sinful, and so long as his duas, and so long as he does not break his family ties. All of us, we have family issues. This one argues with that one. It's the nature of families. How many of us, we have issues with our parents, with our children, with our siblings, with our mother-in-law, with our daughter-in-law, subhanAllah. Let's fix that before Ramadan. Let you, and wallahi, maybe you get your Ramadan, not even in Ramadan before, because you picked up the phone and said, "Oh, it kills me to phone this lady, but I'm going to say, mom-in-law, you know, I just want to say ma for everything. Can we enter Ramadan on a good footing?" Perhaps you got your Ramadan there already. You got your Laylatul Qadr there already. Just by doing that one act of sincere selflessness, putting yourself down. Even, and subhanAllah, the Nabi says, the person who gives up arguing, even when he is right. Even if you're right. Yes, she's wrong. She's crazy. But pick up the phone and say, "You know what? I'm doing it for you, Ya Allah. I'll ask maaf. I'll be the first one to ask maaf." If the person gives you maaf, doesn't give maaf, that's not important. I did my part. That's all I can do, Ya Allah. For your Ramadan, for your Jannah, for your Laylatul Qadr. That's what we do it. And again, similar narration, and this comes up a lot on the 15th of Sha'ban, that the gates of Jannah opened. The gates of Jannah of Allah is open on a Monday and a Thursday. And that's why the Prophet fasted on a Monday and Thursday, because this is where your deeds get sort of supercharged. And everyone who does not commit shirk with Allah is forgiven. Mondays and Thursdays are like an amnesty from Allah. You know how, imagine those who have fines, subhanAllah, we all have fines. And if the traffic department says, on Mondays and Thursdays there's a department, you just come and present your fine and just say, "Maaf." Then I take the fine, I scrap it on Mondays and Thursdays. Allah says, anyone who presents a fine on Monday and Thursday, a sin, and you're not committing shirk, and you do not have an argument with your brother, where you're not talking to each other, your fines will be accepted, or these people will not be accepted, and Allah will say, "Wait until these two reconcile, wait until you two reconcile." So the form, "Ya Allah, I committed zina. Ya Allah, I was stealing. Ya Allah, I put in my form, I did not commit shirk." The next question, is there anybody in your family that or immediate circle that you have cut off, you've severed ties? No, Ya Allah. There's no one like that. Alhamdulillah, your amnesty is accepted. Your amnesty is accepted. And so, if we were to summarize the nature of these sins that prevent our ibadah from being accepted, of course, shirk is number one, and that must be stopped. Number two is haram money. And it's because, alhamdulillah, we are a little bit in a finance background. If you want to talk about it, I'm glad to assist and discuss. Alhamdulillah, there are a lot of products which are available. Transition, now is the time to transition out of haram bonds, haram pensions. Now is the time. You might take a few rand knock, but you will get, inshallah, something much better. And you will sleep peacefully at night. You will know my money is halal. Number two, relationships with family members. The deepest and closest of family members. There should not be a situation where we avoid one another. We can get upset with each other, it's normal. We can argue with each other, that's normal, that's life. We disagree sometimes and we say things, but we do not disassociate with family. Family is family, family is blood. And whatever happened in this past year, where things were not so nice, you know, in Eid we all greet each other, so things might not have been so nice this past year. We pick up the phone and say, "Let's just forget it." Wallahi, and Allah says this in the Quran. Allah says it to Abu Bakr radiallahu anh, when he was harmed by somebody, a close family member of his. And Abu Bakr basically said, "I'm done. I'm not going to help this man anymore." Allah asks Abu Bakr in the Quran, "Do you not want Allah to have mercy on you and forgive you? Do you not want to? Yes, you were the victim. And you think, I will never help this man again. I'll never speak to you. You hurt me so bad. But do you not want Allah?" How many things do we do against Allah? But we want Allah to write it off. Now here's our opportunity. Write off what you have harmed somebody, or someone has harmed you. And of course, min bab awla, if you've hurt somebody, you know you've harmed somebody, you know you've taken the haq of somebody. So is it worth your Ramadan? Maybe you had some car transaction, or some transaction where there's an unhappiness, and you know you were in the wrong. I owe this person a service. Is your Ramadan worth it? Is your Ramadan worth it? And so reconcile, inshallah. That's our job for the next 2 weeks. I know we are very busy buying the pies and samosas, mashallah. The preparation of Ramadan is a shopping spree. Allah alam, it's very strange, ajeeb. But alhamdulillah, that's no problem in that. But this is how we prepare for Ramadan. We get ready. And really, it's not, if you look at the Sahaba, many of them, most of them were not hafidh al-Quran, and they couldn't read or write even. So they were not reciting khatams like we think. They were not completing the Quran. The taraweeh we make is the taraweeh they made. If they finished one khatam, alhamdulillah, it was great. They did not spend the whole night in tahajjud. And we imagine, I have to do that. I must spend the whole night in tahajjud. I must make 2-3 khatams a day. Then I must go to work. That's not what Allah wants. And in fact, some ways that is easier than picking up the phone and say to your mother-in-law, saying to your mother, saying to your sister, your brother, you know what, I'm so sorry. Let's just move forward. Sometimes I'll rather take, ya Allah, give me the 100 khatams. I'll rather do that. But that's not the real taqwa in it. To end, in spite of all of that, even if we don't make the Ramadan, even though maybe what might happen is the niyyah is there, I want to make this the best Ramadan, and as Ramadan goes, sometimes, you know, one day I'd miss Taraweeh, then there was a deadline, then I was sick, and then you just sit back and missed a few of my ajaza, and you feel, what a messed up Ramadan. There's this feeling of, I've fallen behind, I can't get there. Remember, at the end of the day, the trump card is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, I am as you, think of me. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put this bonus in there. Why? To make Jannah easy. Allah wants everybody to pass this exam. Allah wants everybody to enter Jannah simple. And so He's really given a gift. You know, yeah, just press this button. Just come one night Laylatul Qadr to the masjid. Just fast the day. Didn't even say fast in a beautiful way. Just don't eat and drink and like everybody else fast. And inshallah, all your sins are forgiven. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the hadith says, call upon Allah, make salah to Allah, fast for Allah, give charity to Allah, and be certain Allah will accept it. Be certain that Allah does accept it. And so be certain, we make the niyyah, ya Allah, we will try our best for this to be our best Ramadan, but we are certain in your mercy that you will make it the best Ramadan, bi-idhnillah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us, may Allah grant us to get Ramadan, may Allah grant maghfirah for those who's not going to get this Ramadan. It's always a list of people. They were there last year, not here this year. The last Ramadan was last year. And who knows, maybe last year is still our last Ramadan. But we make dua, Rabbana balighna Ramadan. Just get me to Ramadan. Because when I get there, inshallah, it will be enough. Ameen, ameen. So a few announcements. Alhamdulillah, as we said, we invited the jama'ah and those who follow to contribute to upgrade our IT system here. And mashallah, it's been a wonderful response. I think there's just a few thousand rand outstanding. You know, really, and we were quite humbled. I'm sure he doesn't want us to mention his name, but a brother from Canada. And, you know, alhamdulillah, he took the lion's share of the debt. But what was very nice was not just, you know, when you want to give, you feel like, mashallah, I'm the nicest person in the world. I want to give. And the minute that website bombs, so there's no enough time for this, I'm going to move on, give rather to something else. But this person persevered. To do international banking transfers is difficult, but he made that effort and it helped us to build our structures so that, alhamdulillah, and we just say thank you to all those who have contributed. Jazakallah khair, may Allah bless you, may this carry heavy in your scales of good deeds. We're humbled to know that these little lectures, all of you, all over the universe, I don't know where you all are, but alhamdulillah, it spreads and may Allah accept from us and pardon us for our mistakes. So jazakallah khair to everyone who contributed. I said there's just a little bit left. Our youth class, this is alhamdulillah, we started last week. Yesterday was our second session. I think it's a very good class for your kids to talk about, is there an Allah? Why should I be a Muslim? Evidence. We're talking about things that you might not get to talk about in madrasa to connect with Islam. And if you'd like to your kids to participate, please let us know. Jazakallah khair. Wa sallallahu sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi salam ursaleen. Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.